B-Pod Studios.
Just a terribly sad story coming out of Whitesboro, New York. A cancer-stricken child's wish for a computer has touched off a dispute over more than $30,000 in remaining donations intended to help the child's family. I won't use last names here, but Father Bill says a private financial committee has withheld much of the $48,000 raised from the public so far for his four-year-old son, Timmy. Indeed, he said 4 months after the money started pouring in, Timmy still hasn't gotten the computer he wanted. Timmy arrived at the Duke University Medical Center in North Carolina 3 weeks ago to begin stem cell transplants. Now, last October, Timmy's plight became public when his family said he wanted a computer. That initiated a massive community-wide surge of support for Timmy. The campaign raised $48,000 to help defray family costs, but the family says it has received only about $12,000 of that to date. Quote, I need the money for medicine. I can't reach them, Father Bill said. If I need money for an emergency, I can't reach them. I just put my truck up for sale because we need the money. An Oneida County sheriff, along with a New Hartford councilman, heads the committee that decides when the funds are allocated to the family and said it's important that the committee act carefully. Quote, we just want to assure these funds are not being misappropriated. He said a $4,000 computer was the source of the dispute. Quote, I'm not sure what a computer has to do with Tim's well-being, said the committee. I wanted to get to the answer.
Let me see if I can get it through.
Hello?
Your goddamn thick head.
Hold on.
I want it FedEx. I want a CC to Judge Seward, and if Blanton doesn't like it, he can kiss my ass.
On the
told you.
Hello? Hello?
Just do what I tell you.
Hello?
Hello?
On the air with us right now, we called local attorneys from all over the area, and they kept pointing us to
Dropbox downstairs.
They kept pointing us to Fort Lauderdale and attorney Ira Zimmerman, who is quite experienced in this type of stuff. Good afternoon, Mr. Zimmerman.
Hello.
I guess through our producer, you are quite familiar with the story and the plight of young 4-year-old Timmy.
Well, I don't know what he told you. I'm familiar with probate and family law.
What is the deal when a private committee sets up a donation fund when private donations come in? How can this family go about getting this money?
You have a question.
Yeah, how can the family get this money?
The family can get this money by demonstrating a real need for it, which evidently, from what I'm hearing from you, they have not. This is becoming a more and more common practice as you get more of these sob stories making the news.
How can you say this is a sob story?
Sob story. You got a sick kid. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, terrible thing, but it happens, okay? And then these people go on television, radio, and the print media begging for money. Now, fortunately, we're starting to see a trend in this country where then it would be administered by a charitable trust, so there would be some accountability on how this money is spent.
Well, that's what they're trying to do with this private committee, but
they're
holding $30,000 of needed money that they want to give to their son.
What is the need for this money?
Well, he wants a computer.
A computer? You're talking about a 4-year-old kid who can't walk, he can't talk, he can't see, he's dying anyway?
Right. His last wish is for a computer.
Oh, for the love of God, that's the most asinine thing.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
Can you demonstrate to me what need there is for this 4-year-old that's going to be dead, okay?
That's quite crass, sir.
He's terminal. He can't do anything. He's a lump. He just sits there and does nothing.
This is a complete outrage.
How is this computer going to help this child? You can't demonstrate. It would be one thing if the child was forecast to live into his teens. Maybe you can make a case that it was for educational purposes. But this serves no purpose other than to allow the father to download porn off the internet.
We're talking about a sick child here.
We're talking about greedy parents. You know, a lot of these people, they get a sick kid and they think they've hit the jackpot. They think they've hit the lottery.
I don't believe you.
Oh, Christ. You know, you can
Are
come
you an attorney?
Say that I don't understand. No, let me tell you, I do understand because I deal with these people on a daily basis. They are leeches off the goodwill of society. I could go down. There's a whole list. I got a kid with lupus and a dad driving the Mercedes. I got a kid with Lou Gehrig's disease. The father went to Las Vegas and lost the whole trust fund.
This family, they had to sell their truck to get money when they got $30,000.
They sold their truck because they were figuring they could get a Lexus LS400 out of the trust fund.
Oh, come on.
This is a complete outrage.
It is.
They haven't developed. If all you're telling me is it comes down to this computer, they're not complaining about anything else.
Hold on a second. Can you slow down for a second and listen to what
my time is valuable, sir.
Yeah, but that's fine. You've
if
agreed
you're on
to
my
come on.
Right now, you're at about $400 already.
Look, you've agreed to come on this show to speak with us.
Fine.
Then, like, I can't believe I'm having this conversation. The monies that were raised from public donations from people that felt sorry for poor little Timmy came in when it was announced that he wanted a computer.
Okay, it comes down to people are donating money because they feel sorry for Timmy.
Of course, and they want to help out the family.
They should feel sorry for Timmy because obviously Timmy is blessed with very dim-witted parents.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
Nor can I.
The parents are obviously terrible money managers, and there's no way that you can tell me. You take care of, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
You take care of your child, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You don't go out begging for money on the street.
Hold on a second. If there was a major illness with my child, I don't know that I'd be able to afford all the medical bills and medication that child needs.
That's called poor financial planning. It's also called being underinsured.
We're talking about a sick child here.
Well, the kid can't help it. It's, dying and can't do anything. It's the parents' fault.
What do you mean it's the parents' fault?
When you have a child, it's your responsibility to see if that child's taken care of. We agree on that.
Yeah.
This child is not being taken care of. They're begging for money.
These were donations that came in. The story went public. A newspaper or something did a story, and little four-year-old Timmy says he wants a computer. The money started rolling in. Why shouldn't they be entitled to it?
My ass.
What do you mean your
Nobody's
ass?
Nobody's entitled to a handout.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Insurance.
If the people that donated their money for this little Timmy boy, they never cared where their money was going.
Well, then they're stupid.
Wow. Oh, I can't believe you're an attorney practicing law. Where's your compassion?
What compassion? I have a lot of compassion for these people that donated money thinking it was going to a sick kid. What the hell is he going to do with a computer?
I cannot believe.
Now, maybe daddy wants to go to hustler.com, but let him earn the money like anybody else.
K-Rock.
From your sick kid.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
What's with this attorney? Look, you got a kid here. He's dying. He's sick. He's dying. And all he wants is a computer. That's the only thing he wants. And it's his last wish. That's the whole reason
yeah.
people put the money in the first
exactly.
place.
Exactly. Mr. Zimmerman, what do you have to say about that?
Are you people stupid?
I mean,
what are you
thinking about? Just because the kid's sick doesn't mean his parents have all the money to take care of him and give him the things he wants.
Correct.
Look, pal, the parents throw that out there, and you're fished in like a big trophy bag.
You don't know that. You don't know that. Look, it happens.
Slow down and listen. The kid is 4 years old. He can't see. He can't speak. He can't hear. What the hell does he need a computer for?
He can certainly go on the computer and find some enjoyment. If he can't walk, can't speak, he can certainly go to a keyboard and at least have some fun.
What the hell is he going to do?
This is a complete outrage.
It is.
What the hell is a kid going to do?
I cannot believe you.
You tell me how a four-year-old invalid, what a computer is going to do for him.
How can people point me in your direction when you are an expert in this stuff and you are showing no compassion? It's your job to fight for that kid's money.
I deal in reality, not in fantasy land. And I fight for kids' money more than you'll ever know and keep it out of the hands of the parents that want to drive sport utility vehicles.
Oh, God. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, that attorney, you're right on the head. On this, buddy. Let me tell you, you got bums on the street holding up signs, homeless will work for food. It's a big scam.
You ever tried to take one of those bums up and try to put them to work? They don't want work. They want the money.
You're exactly right. That's the same situation you're dealing with here.
Come on.
We're talking about a sick child
yeah,
here.
We are. We're not talking about a bum on the street.
You go and tell me what we're talking about after you've seen a parent go out and buy a Lincoln Navigator with money that was supposed to buy a wheelchair.
You're serious about this, aren't you?
I'm deadly. You think I'm on? You think I need to be on here? My time is valuable, and it's very freaking short right now.
Shouldn't you take each case on an individual basis and see if, in fact, the family does need this donated money?
That's why we have the committee.
They're not giving them the money.
They are saving that money to make sure that the major medical corporations get paid when the kid dies.
Oh, for crying out loud.
You know,
plain and simple, they need their money.
I see a five-year-old that needs a heart-lung transplant. The next thing I know, the father's gone off and bought a flea market.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
It happens.
K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
I just can't believe for one second that he honestly believes that every situation with these kids, it's always the parents trying to buy a navigator.
Yeah, good point. Hypothetically, let's take a hypothetical situation. Let's take this away from the table right now. And I want some legal advice from you, Mr. Zimmerman.
Yeah, good. Go ahead. Bleed me for all you can. You love a good freebie, don't you? I mean, if I had neighbors and in-laws and all this, always want something for free. My time is valuable. Go ahead.
Oh, for crying out loud. You know, I don't even want to talk to you. I really don't. I wanted some
legal...
Well,
then why'd you call me?
Because I thought I'd get some legal advice out of you so you can help this family.
All right, what do you want?
How can they go about getting the $30,000 that's allotted to them, that the people have donated? They want to go and see this family get this money and see 4-year-old Timmy get his computer. What advice would you give a family?
First of all, these people are obviously not financially solvent. Okay? We agree on that.
Yes.
Secondly, this child is requiring a lot of very care-intensive, very high-tech care.
Yes.
Who's providing that?
I don't know who's providing it.
It's the hospitals and the major medical corporations.
Yeah.
In order for them to continue on and survive, they have to be paid.
This is a complete outrage.
Yes, it is.
So therefore, that money is going to go, as soon as the child dies, whatever's left.
I can't even believe we're having this conversation.
Neither can I.
Whatever's left, the committee that administers the money will take their fee, usually about 30%. Then the rest would go right to the hospital.
All right, Mr. Zimmerman, I thank you for your time. I appreciate this. I know it's a hot issue. I guess each case needs to be looked at individually, doesn't
yeah.
it? That would be the piece of advice you'd
yeah.
give. What are you working on right now?
I'm working on about my third martini. I got done about an hour ago.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The bell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Come on now, Ginger.
Yeah, get up there. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Tuesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Hope everybody had a nice holiday.
And you know, we only took one day off.
Yeah.
But even with one day, any time that we take time off, it costs lives.
How do you figure?
You know who died?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, you're talking about a celebrity death. Whenever we take a time off, a celebrity death.
I thought one day we could get away with it. No.
There's a couple. Well, one unexpected. Let's put it this way. One was an old person. One was unexpected.
Well, the unexpected one, I don't think you ever knew Omar, did you?
From The Wire?
You watched The Wire?
You gave me the first season.
And so you watched what was complimentary and then lost interest?
That's not it. I just remember him from Boardwalk Empire.
Chalky.
Yep.
Chalky White.
What was he, 54?
Yep.
What was his name?
Michael Williams.
Yep.
Michael Kenneth. K. Williams. Michael Kenneth Williams. See, I always got to one up you.
I think he goes by Michael K. Williams. Because that's everywhere where I see it. And an absolute shocker. Great actor. Great actor. And they found him dead in his hotel room, apparent drug overdose.
And if you don't know him as Omar or Chalky, first of all, what are you watching if you haven't seen those shows?
Right.
Two of the greatest shows ever. He even had a bit part in The Sopranos.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And he's been in tons of movies and TV shows.
Gee, he was a great actor. When I found out he
and
died.
Had a very distinctive look because he had a very prominent scar that went right down the front of his face all the way to the neck.
Talk about it during the grab bag. I got an interview with him, with Larry King, of all people, talking about how he got that scar.
And that scar was one of those things that was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Because he was a struggling actor. But with that scar, all of a sudden he had this distinctive look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's much like Samuel L. Jackson, where he's actually this humble, retiring man. I don't know if Samuel L. Jackson still is, but at least when Pulp Fiction came out, when they would do interviews with Samuel L. Jackson, and they'd want him to be, you know, the mean MF-er, and he's like, hey, that's just a part. You know, I'm an actor. I'm a nice guy. It was the same thing with Michael K. Williams. By all accounts, universally throughout the acting community, it's like, this is the nicest man that you'd ever want to meet. And he is such a good actor that when you watch him as Omar or Chalky and playing all of these tough guys, if you know him, you really have to set aside your disbelief, because otherwise you're going to want to laugh,
mm-hmm.
because that's the last thing he is.
Yeah, but I from what I had been reading, he battled some demons.
Oh, yeah.
And had a tough life, but nobody expected this. Nobody expected this. And Hollywood, when something like this happens, and we know this from in the past, they try to protect their own. You go to the tabloids are telling you, oh, drug paraphernalia, heroin found in his room. You go to the major publications, they don't mention that right off
the
bat. It's still
it, yeah.
being investigated.
Well, I don't think that we should be soft-selling it, considering how many people died over a holiday weekend.
No kidding.
Drugs aren't what they used to be.
No. How about that? Did you see that cocaine fentanyl one with the comedians?
Yeah, it was a bunch of comedians throwing a house party, and somebody brought in a bad batch.
Yeah. And like three of the four of them died.
And a lot of them in the hospital, we don't know if they're going to make it or not.
It's unbelievable. It's sick.
And, you know, it used to be that drugs were a poor choice, but a recoverable one. Where you go out for a weekend, it's not going to do great things for you, but it probably won't kill you. Well, that's changed.
Yeah, well, people are dying.
And people are dying doing the same thing that they've done for years. The variable is the red Chinese.
The communist red Chinese.
They're pumping. Okay. They make the fentanyl.
Yep.
Then they send it to Mexico. Yep. It comes over the border. Yep. They're pouring in.
Yep. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. Oh, geez, it starts. 96 K-Rock.
If you had a friend who was a king, what kind of a gift would you give him? Well, there are many people of prominence who have been thrilled to receive this.
Stan and Haney.
The world's most exciting radio.
96.
The quality goes in before the name goes on.
K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Tuesday edition. A little shortened week here. And I do want to make the announcement that although it might feel like a Monday to some, Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law will be joining us.
That just dawned on me.
Yes, he'll be coming in us in about an hour.
I wish that when we had those Monday holidays that we could just continue to pretend that it's Monday.
But it's not. It's Tuesday. We're already well into the week now. If you would like to ask Mike Chiannopoulos a question, text us on the Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600. He is a lawyer. He wants to help you.
Because I want Friday to feel like Thursday, and then we'd be surprised, you know, when it happens.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed the three-day weekend.
Oh, I did. Absolutely. But I think that you can get more value if you pretend that Tuesday is Monday, because then when Friday comes and everybody says, okay, let's wrap it up, you're like, what, already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Plus, I'm a little melancholy today. This is Roger Marley's last day with us. You know who comes back tomorrow. And it has been just an absolute, I guess, calming, comfortable time here in the studio.
And you know what?
For the last, you know, almost a week.
Initially, I was skeptical as to whether Marley could do the job. But he's really stepped up.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's been nice having you around.
It
Ross.
Really has. Turn your mic on. There
yeah,
you go.
I'm still learning.
That's all right.
I really appreciate you guys. It's been great.
Yeah.
See, that's what radio's supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun.
This is so much more fun than my regular radio job that I have.
Yeah, that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
That's something that Junior doesn't understand.
No, it's very stressful.
It's very stressful for him, and I still want to get that. You know what? I don't know if we can do it by tomorrow. I still want that webcam in there. He's going to be on camera to see what we have to deal with.
Yeah.
I want that.
Well, you know, as much as I enjoy having Roger around, I kind of miss him because
you miss him?
Well,
he bothered me all weekend long when I was, you know, taking a few days off for the anniversary.
Are you kidding me?
I'll tell you.
He's been contacting. I haven't heard a word from him since he walked out of the studio.
He was chatting up a storm with me. He's having the time of his life at his dad's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
And he's telling you all about it?
Well, he wants to know things. You know what?
What is it? He's contacting you throughout this vacation.
Yeah.
I haven't heard a word from him.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that I actually went, you know, I hope he's doing okay.
Oh, I heard from him quite a bit. Almost too much.
What's the deal? Does he only contact me when he wants money?
It appears that way, doesn't it?
Haney, you're the one that was, like, more available this weekend.
No, Rog.
Well,
Haney wasn't doing anything out of the ordinary, but he was unavailable.
Okay.
See, Roger, what I've been doing since about 2012 is preparing for the COVID lifestyle.
grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. What's the old thing kids say? The darndest things. A woman went on TikTok talking about this. She was at the Target. And there was a little girl at the Target who found a way, as a little girl, how to do what we call in the business an SBD, silent but deadly, a fart.
Dustin.
But yes. Little girl knows you fart and make some noise until you realize there's ways around it. This woman was so amused by this little girl, she had to post her comments on TikTok. Take a listen.
I just got out of Target, and I was standing in line behind a mom and her daughter waiting to check out. The girl was goofing around, messing around. She's showing me her preschool folder. Out of nowhere, she looks at me and says, "Today I figured out that if I hold the sides of my butt open, my farts don't make noises." I started laughing. The girl started laughing, and the mom whips her head around like she was mortified. I said, "Don't worry about it. This is life-changing news for me." Frankly, I was a little annoyed. I hadn't thought about this yet in my life.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah, so true.
And you know that little girl was proud of herself.
Yes, she was. Discovered something about her body.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking last week, I think it was during the newscast, you had the list of the 10 things that people are sick of hearing when they're on Zoom.
Can you hear me? Am I on the screen?
Somebody took your lead on this and gave it a little different twist. These are the things that are said during the first 5 minutes of a Zoom meeting. Oh, there's no problem. We can go and continue to work and stuff by night. We work from home. This is what you deal with in the first 5 minutes of a Zoom meeting. Tell me I'm lying.
Thank you guys for joining. Well, we got a couple more folks joining, so we'll just give them a second. Can you guys hear me, by the way? It's coming in clear? Okay. No, because I could see you, but I couldn't hear you. And happy Wednesday. Or it's Tuesday, isn't it? One of those weeks. I've been doing like a daily walk in the morning just to, you know, feel like a commute. Should we get started, or where are you guys calling from? Let me actually ping him, because he did accept the invite. Are you coming? Okay. We can get started, and then when he joins... Oh, there you go. Yeah, no, we're just getting started.
Stop the madness. That's not normal. That's not normal. Oh, we can work around this.
It is normal.
Get your backdrops and have a Zoom meeting.
No, it is normal. It sounds to me like just like live meetings do.
Yeah, hell.
Is he coming?
No, I got a text from Haney. He said he's on the way.
On the way. Okay.
Somebody ought to tell Haney that when the meeting's 9 o'clock, it doesn't mean he has to leave his house at 9 o'clock.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Because I did.
I know. Show up at 9:15.
I didn't know you guys talked about me before.
Oh,
well,
they know your tricks.
Do they?
Of course they do.
All of them?
Yeah. They sure do.
And they don't appreciate him.
No. The one we have in office right now, quote, "I'm not buying it, man."
What? What was that in reference
to?
They
all know. To being late. "I'm not buying it, man."
But you do it long enough, mm-hmm. then it becomes expected. That's what you told me.
Not that. Because the people that are coming into a meeting don't know that.
I do have to say that was brilliant by him, though.
It doesn't mean you leave your house. That's what you do.
That's exactly how I think.
He said the meeting was 9 o'clock. That's okay. When I left.
Well, that's when I figure I'm on their clock.
Oh, God.
Up until 9 o'clock, I'm on my time.
Oh.
Right, Roger? You got me.
I like that a lot.
How's Roger's track record here?
He got fired because he slept through an entire airship.
Yes!
And I think that's harsh. I can see where that would happen. Yeah, most other people would say, how the hell could that happen?
That's
could happen
what I say.
Could happen easily.
Get a load of this. and they got the video to prove it. A sports reporter, female. A female. And you can't say that, but it sets
up. Is this the one
story.
From Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
A female sports
reporter.
This has
got to stop.
Said she was violated by fans.
What
while
an
filming
idiot.
A television spot during the Clemson-Georgia game and this past weekend.
And this is exactly why there shouldn't be lady sportscasters.
Come on. Come on. This is the way. We can't say lady sportscaster. We can't do anything.
Stan, you want to tell me in that same situation, if it was Rod Luck with the microphone, he'd be complaining?
Here is, I guess her name is Lindsay Ruff. Or Gruff?
Growl?
Growl?
I don't
Gruff.
Know. Gruff. It's something like that.
Getting bothered by the fans.
Well, let's set it up. She is by the concession
yes.
stands where people are exiting after an exciting college football
yep,
game.
They're all pumped.
They've been drinking in the sun, rooting their team on.
Yep,
they're happy.
She was manhandled.
And she's standing professionally in their way as they're trying to get out of the
Let's
stadium.
Get the camera angle. Here you go.
They cannot avoid her.
And they made no effort to.
Yeah, and she's surprised by
Here
that.
Here you go.
Hello.
Please don't touch me. Excuse you. How long do I have? Please don't touch my equipment. Please don't. You're hitting defensive slugfest.
You got no business being there, lady. Now, some women can take it, and they know how to defuse it.
Yeah.
But don't send her ever
right
again.
Right.
Because those people that she's complaining about, they're not the bad guy. They're doing what they're supposed to do at a football game. A football game is a release where you can act like an idiot
and
go,
but you don't
Woo!
Go and touch her. You don't go and touch her.
If you see her on Twitter.
Yeah. I saw.
Did you see the whole Twitter? Because eventually she says, I'm not accusing anyone of anything sexual. They were just in my space.
Well, that's a new term in the last couple of years. Violating my space. You're
so
in my space.
So it's not like somebody went and grabbed an ass
she's
or grabbed a boob.
She's in
she
space.
Just felt uncomfortable because people were happy and drunk.
I was watching the news last night when I saw the
TV
full
news.
Report. Yes. And I said, oh, it's sad that Willard Scott passed away.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Oh, you didn't? My wife looked at me and she said, who's Willard Scott?
Did he die here?
No.
Because this was his favorite place,
Willard
wasn't it?
Willard Scott passed away. He'd come down here quite a bit. He passed away on Saturday. He was 87 years old. Started on
TV pioneer.
Started on the Today Show in 1980, stepped aside in 1996, but continued to appear until his retirement in 2015.
But before 1980, wasn't he a clown?
He was Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
There you go, a little remembrance of the great Willard Scott.
Good morning, all. I'm Tom Brokaw here with Jane Pauley.
Good morning.
And the newest member, old Uncle Willard.
Good morning, Willard.
I'm singing to my Jane while standing in a rain. In fact, that's my agent there juggling. He's been doing that with my career for 40 years. Happy birthday to you. You belong in the zoo.
Happy birthday to all of our friends who have birthdays today.
I'm going to be fading off into the sunset.
Yes, sir.
After 130 years at NBC, and I'm going over yonder.
All right. Where's yonder?
Over yonder.
Happy train.
He was great, a mentor to Al Roker.
Yep, and one of the few that could get away with acting like that.
Yep.
Because a lot of people tried to emulate him.
Didn't
and,
work.
And call themselves Uncle something.
Yep, doesn't work.
No.
And one of the few who actually would put on and take off his toupee on camera.
That's because he was a fun guy.
That's right. Talking about Michael K. Williams from the Wire, Boardwalk Empire, died of a suspected heroin overdose yesterday. He was 54.
And again, they're not sure if somebody gave them a hot shot with a little fentanyl in it. They'll put fentanyl in anything.
Williams, best known as Omar Little on The Wire. Here he is, and we were talking, you were talking about his scar. Here he is with Larry King talking about how he got that scar and how it launched his career.
I got the scar on my 25th birthday. I was highly intoxicated, and I entertained a conversation that I normally in my right mind would have ignored, and I got jumped.
Wow. Was it a glass?
No, he spit a razor. He held it between his fingers here and
cut you.
Yeah, I thought he was smacking me.
And he had it between his fingers and sliced him right down the face.
And what started all that was that he saw two of his friends and saw these guys kind of surrounding them and intervened. Because he said, I thought they were going to jump my friends. And so I said, come on, guys, let's go. I'm ready to go. And they didn't seem to be as situationally aware as he was. And that's when it happened.
Yep. Happy, time flies, man. Happy 70th birthday to Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders.
What?
70. For you to stop the...
In pocket, back on the chain gang. I went back to Ohio, but my city was gone. Talk to me, darling, with a message of love. Show me the meaning of the word. Come on now, in the middle of the road, yeah. Keep my only key. Look so small. So quiet.
One of my favorites when I was a kid were the Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders.
She really got my respect when I heard the story of how initially she was going to sue Rush Limbaugh to try to keep him from using Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And what stopped her is that her dad was a big ditto head. And said, I beg of you, let him use your song. And she did.
70 years old. I want to wrap it up with this. College football
is exciting.
Is damn exciting.
And I've a little said, too exciting for you, but...
I've said it before in the past. I love the NFL, but I like college football better because it is so wide open. It is so pumped up. It is so exciting week after week, and
I was watching some college football this weekend, and I'm watching it, and I'm going, "Come on, man, make the play!" And then it dawned on me, the guy that I'm saying this to, luckily he can't hear me. I'm going, oh wait, this guy's like two games removed from high school.
Yeah. Virginia Tech uses, like, Mariano Rivera, Enter Sandman.
That crowd was incredible.
Here's the deal, and you're going to hear a little bit of it. When Virginia Tech entered the stadium to Enter Sandman with the crowd, reports came in that the vibration actually registered on a seismograph, that they could actually see the earth moving. You're gonna tell me this isn't great?
Oh, a lot of people said it isn't great.
Who?
Because COVID.
Oh, stop.
I'm not kidding.
I know that. You know what some of the other ones were doing, too.
Yeah, they had another chant that seemed to go viral around the country.
Yes, it sure did. At multiple stadiums. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples. When we come back, we'll have the local beat for you. Maybe I'll tell you what Junior sent me over the weekend. Now, here it is. I'm going to spend a few days with my wife, our anniversary, and he's texting me and sending pictures of the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
So odd. Not only didn't I get any pictures, I haven't heard a word from him.
Mike Chiannopoulos later in the 3 o'clock hour.
If you recall, yes, just prior to his trip, he showed up at my home unannounced.
Money.
Yeah. And I think we have this relationship, but evidently he likes you better.
You're a cash register. Wanted to text Mike 239-277-9600.
Find that odd that he's in constant contact with you and I haven't heard a word.
Stan and Haney.
That's odd.
96 K Rock.
Hey, Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin. Feast and famine. War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law in about 25 minutes. Also, we're expecting a call from our dear friend Betty Ann, who is so skittish now about calling the radio station ever since she was, basically manhandled over the phone by Junior. They're not taking any calls. You text them. God. And now she's afraid. And I said, Betty Ann, you call in whenever you want.
That's a relationship that goes back decades, and he has the nerve to do that to Betty Ann?
Yep. So maybe...
He was admonished.
Yeah, but she's still, understands, well, I don't know, should I call in? Yes, Betty Ann, call in.
We love you, Betty Ann, you know that.
And you said you haven't heard from Junior since he left, huh? Haven't heard a thing from
him? Haven't heard a peep.
This is, try to get away for the Labor Day weekend, and he texts me.
Yeah, it was your anniversary. Congratulations.
Yep, thank you.
You and your wife, of course, doing anniversary-type things. And he's constantly texting you?
Hey, Stan, remember Bob Bruno? He's piping up again on Facebook. I said...
And that matters why?
I don't know. Then he says, I'm in Omaha. Just got in. Had enough turbulence to make me almost crap myself. That was the end of that. And then on Friday night, hey, Stan, have you ever heard of the band Head East?
Well, of course you have.
I said, yes. Watching them now. I'm watching them now, Stan. I said, their big hit has never been any reason. I went and checked for them. There's only one original left in the band. Then he texts me back. I had no idea who they were, but Dad was pumped up. And then he proceeded to send me pictures of the Hall of Fame inductees at the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Pictures.
Because he's probably being treated like a VIP.
See, I got all these pictures coming in.
That's odd.
I said,
I didn't hear anything from him.
I said, congratulate your dad for me. I said, make sure you bring back some swag for Haney and I. He says, I'll try. Then he texts me again. Oh, this was when I was on the Sunset Cruise. Are you familiar with the Valairs? My reply, no, I'm not. That was why I had to answer it while I was on my romantic Sunset Cruise on Captiva. This is what you haven't heard anything from him, huh?
Not a peep.
Not a
guess
thing.
Guess he must have plenty of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of dough. You gave him a little cushion, didn't you? A little feather pillow, didn't you?
Yeah. But I have to be fair.
Yeah.
He did pay me back when he said he was going to.
Oh, that's good.
First time.
The first time.
Yep. Yeah.
What, did he come into money? Betty Ann's on the phone.
Yes, he got to his dad.
Yep. Hi, Betty Ann.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How are you, sweetheart?
Late at Labor Day. I'm sorry I didn't call in.
That's okay. That's all right. How's everything going, sweetheart?
Everything's going good. I have a grandson.
Wow. Oh, congratulations.
And he was 8 pounds, 9 ounces, and 21 inches long.
A big boy. Big boy.
Yes.
So
Johnson had to have an emergency C-section with him.
Oh. So what's his name? Is it Stan or Haney?
Yeah, what is it?
she didn't even grace the presence of my husband's name in there. It's Oliver.
That's a nice name, Oliver. I keep thinking of the Brady Bunch and Cousin Oliver.
Oliver, yeah.
Also, I'm going in on the 17th for another surgery.
Why? You already had your breast reduction.
Yeah, I have a problem with my gallbladder. It's not working right.
Oh, no. Are they taking your gallbladder out?
They're taking my gallbladder out, and they're repairing a umbilical hernia or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I had one of those. I had that. You're gonna be laid up for a little bit.
Yeah, he told me that I can't lift anything for 2 months, and yes. I was like, "Well, that's a good thing." I've been holding off on trying to find a job because I was waiting on getting this taken care of.
Yeah, well, your old man's gonna have to pick up the slack.
That's right, lifting the heavy stuff.
You hear that, Chris? You better be listening.
But yeah, I probably about 20 years ago, I had an umbilical hernia.
It's the most pain I've ever seen you in.
Well, what happened, because they cut into your stomach muscles and do the patch.
That's what they call the core.
Let me just put it to you this way, and I'm going to be delicate about it because we're on the air, Betty Ann. The first time you have to go to the bathroom, number two, it's going to be a challenge. They recommend you lean on a pillow.
Oh, God.
But after that, it's fine.
You know, when Stan had that surgery, I had to look in on him.
Oh, he did.
And I remember Stan was so mad at me because I kept making him laugh.
Oh, because it would hurt to laugh. But it heals quickly. Again, don't do anything to lift anything that will tear it before it heals. And your doctor's right; it's a couple of months before you should lift anything heavy.
Yeah, that's what he told me. He said about 2 months.
Yeah.
Because I told my husband wants me to get out of doing what I'm used to, which is delivering car parts. And some of them car parts are really heavy. Like
yeah, you don't want to don't mess rotors. With that.
Yeah.
Don't mess with
you. Make sure you keep us up to date, Betty Ann.
All right, Betty Ann. We love you. We love you.
Okay.
Love you.
All right, love y'all.
All right, bye.
Can't believe Betty Ann is a grandma.
I know. Raj, let me tell you something. When we first met Betty Ann,
she was
a teenager, and she came into the studio wearing that.
You see those shells there?
Seashell bikini. That she had that. That's the top.
She was a vision.
Yes, and and now she's telling us she's a grandmother.
In all my years that I've worked here, I've been staring at those the shell things and wondering where they came from.
Yeah, those were hers. She came in wearing nothing but two seashells on the top and one big one on the bottom.
Knockout.
She was gorgeous, and she's still a wonderful person. Absolutely wonderful. Let's do the local beat. This is for all you people in Cape Coral. Your town's crime-ridden. And you better watch out. Now, a buddy of mine who had bought a house out in Cape Coral noticed this. Had to get cameras all installed and the automatic lights. But boy, this was a Labor Day weekend for some punks. NBC2 bringing it to us. Dateline Cape Coral. Car burglars hit 10 Cape Coral residences over the weekend. 10 of them. 10 Cape Coral residents who live within a few blocks of each other were targeted by car burglars early Sunday morning. 4 of the burglaries happened in the 3500 block of Southeast 3rd Avenue, 1 in the 3500 block of Southeast 3rd Place, and the other in the 3700 block. two car burglaries happened in the 35 and 3900 blocks of Southeast 4th Avenue, and two more happened in the 4000 block of Palm Tree Boulevard. The victim said they not only had their stuff stolen, but their sense of security as well. One woman who was a victim, we'll just call her Elizabeth, screamed into the TV news camera, "You're going down. You get caught, you're going down. You're wrong. She's mad. Sharing a message to the criminals who went into her car and nine others over the weekend. Elizabeth said they were stealing nothing because they couldn't find anything. Elizabeth said they stole a bunch of church papers and homework from her. Across the street,
what else they get, like an air freshener?
Yeah. Across the street, she said the thieves did get an iPad and money and also some tools. Up the road, another victim said the thieves didn't get much. They only took a car manual out of the glove box. What was the common theme of all of them? Didn't lock their car doors. One said, hey, it was our fault, but it's still a violation.
No.
You shouldn't, you know.
It's not your fault.
Remember when we were growing up, you didn't think about it. The thieves took some valuables, but left behind valuable evidence, too.
You could have been more careful, sure, but that doesn't make it your fault.
They said the police had a good match on fingerprints and one video. One camera caught them, so they were pretty sure they knew who they were, said one of the victims. Police are saying, a major reminder, and like you said, Annie, you shouldn't have to. Major reminder, lock your car doors every night if you live in Cape Coral.
And for those kids' sake, I hope they get caught quick. Because the quicker they get caught, it's going to go one of two ways. Either they're a bad seed and that's going to be their life, or if they're a good kid who's just messing around, they'll go, okay, this has consequences, don't want to do it.
If you need to speak to an attorney, Mike Chinopoulos is going to be joining us and will answer your questions via the Absolute Law text line. If you have a question for Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law, family law, child support, visitation with the kids, alimony, criminal stuff, DUI stuff, civil, veterans issues, text your question on the Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600. Mike Chinopoulos will be joining us next.
Somebody needs to teach those kids the concept of risk versus reward.
Yep.
You're risking your future and your freedom so that you can get a car manual to a car you don't own.
Stan and Haney.
Not sound.
Doesn't fit. 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney.
Well, I'll leave you two groovy buddies to partake in rock and roll activities.
96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, it's a Tuesday. I know most of you have been thinking, oh, it's a Monday. No.
Why do you keep reminding people? Just let them think it's Monday.
No, that's not good because then they miss appointments like I almost did and I had to call my dentist because they got to go to check up after I had the whole implant thing done. They got to check it. And
you were just at the dentist.
I know. They got to check it. There's still stitches in there. Snitches get stitches. I don't know. I remember that as a kid. Something Junior should have learned. He is Mike Chinopoulos.
No, he learned the opposite.
Yeah, I know. He learned to tell authority figures. Our day would have gotten his ass kicked. Mike Chinopoulos. People around town call him Storm. He is joining us now. Mike, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. It's Storm Chinopoulos here, guys.
Did you have a nice holiday?
Yeah, I just love that name. I just love making that name up. I did. You know, it was Labor Day, and so I labored to try to help some people, Stan.
Oh, you know what? Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me one bit. It's because in your line of work and the way that you've been talking to us over the past 10 plus years, you're always working.
Well, you know, the beautiful part about a holiday like that on a Monday is that I can actually sit down and help people without calls from the court and calls from other clients. And so I just take a few hours on a 3-day holiday weekend like that, just about 2-3 hours, and sit down with people, whoever needs to talk to.
That's a
good man.
You're a good man, Mike. You ready to go to the Absolute Law text line and help some people out?
I am. Let's see what we got today, guys. Where are you throw at me today?
Yeah, and you don't know. And I'll say this to the audience right now. Mike is hearing these questions for the first time, and he has no idea where they're coming from. What expertise or what knowledge? He doesn't know where it's coming from. So let's start with this one. And they address it. Ahoy, Storm. I had a trip and fall at a big box store last week. Pain and swelling, nothing broken. They did fill out an incident report, and their insurance company is supposed to call me. How long can I legally wait to be confident of no ligament damage? What should I or shouldn't I discuss with their insurance company? This is from Tim.
Wow. Well, the first thing I would do is tell you that everybody who has a fall is subject to people believing that they are lying, that they are manipulating, that they are doing something just to try to get money. That's not true. Unfortunately, there are some people who do that, but typically not.
And they make a pretty good living at it.
Well, unfortunately, there are some people who've learned to defraud the system, and this listener was one of those people that are actually been hurt, and so that perception is going to hurt her. So I would tell you, document your injury well. Make sure that you get a copy of the tape, because a big box store will likely have a video. So make sure you get that, and make sure you go to the doctor immediately, and then go from there. I wouldn't talk to their insurance company until I either got or consulted with a lawyer. Remember, their job is to trip you up and not pay you anything.
Right. Okay. Absolute Law text line. I love this segment because we keep talking about it. You don't know where these are coming. This is an about face right here, Mike. A whole different angle. Yes, I have a Absolute Law text line. Yes, I have a question for Mike Chinopoulos. Long story short, my dad had been widowed for 7 to 8 years. He was 81, and he had a whirlwind romance 4 months with his nurse, who is half his age. He married her, bailed on his family and friends, and wrote a new will. His new wife is now the executor, so I've heard. Needless to say, we don't get along. I have his previous will before he lost his mind. I'm the executor in that will. When he passes away, Mike, do I have any rights to see the new will? Thank you very much.
Well, you may have a right to see the new will because you're going to be either a beneficiary, or if you're not, if he's excluded you, he's going to have to put something in there that specifically excludes you as his issue or his child. So, yes, you'll get to see the will then.
Okay. But he pretty much loses power, though, doesn't he?
He does.
Well, that's too bad.
He could fight that will and say that it was done under duress, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Can I just say something real quick in how this situation goes? And I'm going to say it from my own experience, and I've talked about this on the air. My grandmother, when she was an elderly woman, died from Alzheimer's. She was married to my grandfather. He passed away at the age of 60. And somebody came in the picture very quickly who was with her for probably the last 30 years of her life. And he knew the end was coming quickly, And as she was suffering from Alzheimer's disease, he tried to marry her because she would sign anything. And they were in the process of going through the wedding ceremony, signing the license and everything, when my mom, God bless her, heard about it from a neighbor and was able to get her attorney to break that up. People are capable of doing anything.
Oh, my God.
And had that happened, it would have been far worse than what happened anyway.
Which was pretty bad.
Yep.
The things that I have seen happen to people about wills are amazing. The things that people in Florida do, or the people that show up in Florida who haven't lived here in somebody's past, the things that they show up, it's like the vultures circling when the uncle or the aunt or the grandparent gets sick. It's really awful.
Can I ask, and you don't have to answer this, but because I've lived it, because we just read an email like this, when you see somebody, Mike, because you do wills and all of that, when you see the vultures circling, as an attorney, what goes through your head? I mean, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but I know you, and you're a stand-up guy, and you see the vultures circling. What, as an attorney, what goes through your head?
Well, I like to try to make sure that I can protect, the decedent and make sure that the decedent's wishes happen. I mean, we had a case where a gentleman who knew that he was about to go from this horrible kind of cancer had a beautiful car. It was a very special car that he'd rebuilt. It was a classic, and he gave it to his neighbor who drove him back and forth to cancer treatments for 3 years. Well, the decedent's family members, nephews and sons, showed up and sued that gentleman for the car, saying that he didn't, my dad wasn't in his right mind.
Right.
He gave you that car. No, he was, and he wanted him to have that car because that guy loved that kind of car, and he took care of him. And you weren't here. You weren't taking them to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So that had to be a big fight. And it's terrible. Things like that shouldn't happen.
Absolute Law text line. Mike, many, many years ago, I was convicted of a felony DUI. No one was hurt. We now have a terrible coyote problem where I live. I understand about no firearms, but is it true that I can purchase a CO2 pellet gun in Florida because it has no gunpowder? I need to do something to protect my pets at night from these coyotes when I go and take them out for a walk.
Well, what do you want to do, make them mad?
Yeah, that might make them mad, wouldn't it?
Well, what I can tell you is that it's kind of scary because, there really is no law, guys, and they can't do exactly what he just said. They can go purchase, and listen, some of these weapons are more deadly than firearms, right, because they have compressed air at 5,000 pounds, and they'll shoot a 25 caliber round. They even have some that'll shoot a 50 caliber round. You order them on the internet, and they just show up at your house because they're not firearms. Amazon delivers them to your door. And they're more deadly than firearms.
Absolute Law text line. This is another interesting one. Ahoy, Mike. Two quick questions. We are taking care of a Vietnam veteran. Wife was appointed by him as power of attorney and executor. We are 1,500 miles apart. He's in Pennsylvania. His health is deteriorating rapidly. He lost 20 pounds in a week. We have set up doctor's appointments and have VA nurses come by his house. The question is, what is the executor responsible for, and should we move back to Pennsylvania, or can we handle this in Florida?
Are they saying the executor of his will? That's a bit confusing to me.
Yeah, they use the term executor. I'm reading it verbatim. We are taking care of a Vietnam veteran. Wife was appointed by him as power of attorney and executor.
Okay, so here's what's going on. The executor part doesn't come in until he's passed, until he's deceased, okay? But the power of attorney is in swing right now, and so that means the person with the power of attorney can do anything that the decedent can, or I'm sorry, that the injured person can do. He's not yet passed. He's just ill. So he or she, the, whoever the power of attorney is, can take care of their bills. It's dangerous because that person could also run amok and, you know, do bad things with it. But as long as that person's trustworthy, that's what they need to do right now. They don't have to go back to Pennsylvania. They can do it all by telephone and manage his care or his assets. And at some point when he gets, you know, when there's just a few days remaining, yes, they would have to return.
Okay. The guy with the air gun, the convicted felon, heard Haney saying that it would make the coyote just simply mad at him. He said, just to let you guys know, I have an air gun that will go clean through a coyote's skull.
Yep. I'm telling you, guys, they're expensive. They're several thousand dollars.
Well, how many lethal rounds are you going to get out of one cartridge?
All right, so let's just take this for instance. There is a weapon you can buy that is a 25 caliber weapon. It has a refillable bottle on it that takes 5,000 pounds of air that can be refilled at any time, and you can have more than one bottle. One bottle of air will give you 120 25 caliber rounds without degradation.
Wow.
They'll start to drop from there. You'll get another 120 rounds, but they'll start to drop from their velocity.
Well, they've come a long way since I was a kid.
Well, yeah, but they're several thousand dollars. It's a lot. Now, you can go to Walmart and buy the pump, you know, pellet gun. That's right. Not what I'm talking about. This is an air rifle or a pneumatic rifle, and I'm telling you, I put a silencer on it, and you can't hear it from 50 feet.
Now, Mike, my apologies because I was going through the Absolute Law text line messages. Is this person who's a convicted felon, can he possess one of those because it does not have gunpowder? I didn't catch that.
That's right.
It's not a firearm.
That's correct. It's not a firearm, and he's only precluded from possessing firearms or ammunition. Pellets are not ammunition because they don't have gunpowder in them, and that's not a firearm.
So he's good.
Yeah, I'd be careful about that, though.
Somebody will find, yeah. You know, a lot of
I'd
red
keep
tape.
It in your house. I wouldn't be out carrying that. I wouldn't be out of the gun range in it. I'd keep it at your house, maybe do a little target practice in your backyard.
Well, based on what I've seen people thrown in jail for these days.
No
yeah.
Kidding. Let's go.
All I have to say is just do it in Cape Coral.
Mike, we have some emails, too. One that was sitting from last week. I promised that I'd get these questions on. This one for Mike Chinopoulos. Mike, is vacation time for hourly employees run by state guidelines or individual employers? Let me explain. I work for a company and have accumulated a lot of vacation time. I want to take a much-needed vacation next year. My employer said if I do not use it by the end of the year, I lose the time. A buddy of mine just took time off this summer and said he was able to do so because he built up vacation hours over the last couple of years. Can you help me with this?
Well, I mean, here's the problem. I'm not an employment lawyer, but if you call me, I'll find you the number to one. But here's my general take on this. Florida is an employment, they call it a right to work state. It's actually, in my opinion, an employment at will state, meaning the employer can fire you at any time. The benefits that an employer has to give you will be governed by both federal and state law. And so that's something that you really need to look at. And I need to get you to an employment lawyer.
Okay. And he can call you 239-ASK-MIKE.
That's right. That's not my expertise, but I'll find you somebody that is their expertise. They're board certified or whatever.
And I want to state this as well. You have a referral network that is second to none. If there is something that you don't handle, you have people that you can get them in touch with.
Well, you know, Stan, I always say it's better to know a good lawyer than to be a good lawyer.
I saved this one for last because I don't know that you've ever addressed this. And the emailer points out that we talk about it quite often here on the show. And this is from Max. And he writes, Mike, I would like to hear your feelings about a topic Stan and Haney bring up from time to time on the show, and it's about buying different formats of the same music. If I bought something on LP 40 years ago and then bought the cassette and then bought the CD and now I'm buying the download of that particular album, aren't the music companies ripping me off? 40 years ago, I paid for the rights to hear that music. Signed, Max. Well, we talk about this all the time on the show.
All the time. Yeah. Title 22 of the United States Code drives that. And unfortunately, you know, if you're caught using somebody's copyrighted music inconsistent with the copyright, the punishment, if convicted, is a fine of $10,000 and 5 years in prison, in federal prison. Now, is that going to be in this case? No. I'm just warning you that it can be serious.
Right.
Yes, you paid to use that copyrighted music years ago. If you could change formats of it from an 8-track that you bought it on to a electronic version, then yeah, you could still listen to it. But you know what? It's 99 cents on Spotify. Get over it, bro.
Well, if you go and buy the nice DVD or the deluxe album gatefold, sometimes that's $29.
Who has a place to play a piece of vinyl?
I do.
Oh my God.
I do.
He's not kidding, Mike.
I'm not kidding you. I do. As a matter of fact, for Christmas this past year, I got a brand new turntable from my friend Haney.
It's nice that you saved, you know, the 2000 and, well, no, it'd be like the 1990 technology. I appreciate it.
Oh,
that.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. But we brought that up from time to time. If you bought, like, an Aerosmith album back in the 70s,
right.
We paid for the copyrights to listen to that. We weren't told that there were going to be downloads and CDs and all of these different things. So we paid for that already.
That's right. And nobody knew that there were going to be CDs. I mean, that's
right.
Well, that was
life of music.
That was an argument that Stan and I brought up during the Napster thing, where, you know, people were going crazy and downloading everything for free before they clamped down on it. And that was my feeling is, no, I don't feel like I'm stealing anything because the stuff that I'm downloading is stuff that I already own in a different format.
Yeah, and I just want it on my computer.
Well, look at it this way. If you still owned the piece of vinyl, I think you're right because I think you have a license for it and you can listen to it in any format you so choose. If the vinyl's worn out, gone, you paid for it in 1970-something, and you don't have it anymore, then no, I think you got to rebuy it.
I have it.
Do we both?
Of course, Stan does. He has technology from the 1900s.
I do. You, as we pointed out...
What, Mike? You can't appreciate the utility of a rotary phone?
Yeah, I got a rotary phone, too.
Amy, did you have to go back to 1990 to find that turntable?
No, I just had to go to a third world country where they just started making them.
I wondered why your trip to Cuba was.
24/7 for you, Mike Chiannopoulos. It doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes people get caught in a bad situation and they need to get a hold of an attorney, and that's why you're available.
24/7, 239, ask Mike, 275-6453. You press 6 outside of normal business hours, you talk to me, it doesn't matter. I'm on the Gulf of Mexico, I'm under a boat, I'm in Greece, it doesn't matter. Holidays, weekends, call me, you'll talk to me.
He's not kidding you.
Mike, we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, guys, have a great week.
Give me the Storm Chiannopoulos out.
And here it is, 96 K-Rock, Storm Chiannopoulos out.
We're going to take
that. He loves that.
Yeah, I know. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Get your first look at traffic, news, headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, a chance for you to win. We'll play Stan's Name That Movie. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney.
You gotta be sh-
kidding me? You can't pay me enough to say this shit.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us on a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. News headlines from Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails 30 minutes away from Stan's Name That Movie. 5 movie clips. Your job to be the first person to identify the film. This week's topic, the job interview. The job interview. These are scenes in movies where somebody in the film is going to a job interview.
I can see where that could be mine.
Yep. So we'll do that in about 30.
I like that, all cash. In about 30?
Yeah, about 30.
On yeah, this, you're cool.
On this side?
Yeah. You sound like somebody that answers a telephone.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
I mean, you got it going on.
How to do.
How many shirts did you buy at Bay Hill?
Oh, I've gone for like 8 years, so every year I go and buy a shirt from Bay Hill. And we're still unpacking it at my house, so I go through a box of new clothes that were packed away, and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen
this. I forgot I had
this. Haven't seen this one in a while.
Yeah.
Let's throw that one on. And it still fits, because it's double X. That's the most common size.
No. You have a wardrobe for every weight class.
I do. I it's
remember back when you were a cruiserweight.
Yep. That's what they said about the great one, Jackie Gleason. He said, you go into my closet. He said, I have 3 sets of clothes. The slim me, the in-between me, and the fat me. Just pick and choose.
You know, I haven't heard you talk about your weight lately. Have you stopped caring?
No, I haven't stopped caring. I just got to go and gather myself to start another round. Because
it doesn't work anymore, though.
It gets harder as you get older. You know me. You've known me for 40 years. I'm a yo-yoer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll up and down, up and down.
A lot of fad diets.
Yep. A lot of fad diets, a lot of stuff that no human being should stick to.
No.
You're not eating. You know, and then it's do you eat to live or live to eat?
Any successful diet.
I like to eat.
Any successful diet is basically starving yourself to some point.
Well, to limit your calorie intake, and that's starving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But as I explained to my wife, don't worry about me. I could hibernate for the next 6 months living off my own fat. Yeah.
Well, it's like Joe Pesci said. You want to lose weight? Stop eating, you
fat.
Stop
eating. It's true. All right, let's get you updated on traffic. Our first look at traffic this afternoon brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Couple of things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash, Fowler Street and Boy Scout Drive. And this one in Lehigh Acres. It is a crash, 23rd Street Southwest and Curtis Avenue South. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's got today's headlines for you, and they are brought to you by our friends at Coastal Cooling. Hold, wrong one. Juicer. Brought to you by Coastal Cooling.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you did not know.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to hand this to you. I will use it if you don't, but you might be able to make better use than I would.
Okay.
You want to keep it?
Yeah, I'll keep it.
You know, if there's one thing this show is known for...
Well, since the beginning.
in less than an hour.
We will tell you what Panera Bread is up to. They have a new menu item that's somewhat questionable.
Questionable?
Yes. In other fast food news, a man accidentally stabbed himself while driving home with Taco Bell.
Mm.
And finally, a grown man robbed three little kids of their go-kart at gunpoint. The stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter is so very important. Sure is. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Beautiful. On the money today. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah. Finally, you know, he's there in the saddle. It's right all there. Worn in, and now it's over.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that they existed when we were younger. You're beer snobs.
Not like today. I remember my old man had a buddy who was trying to show everybody how to pour a glass of beer. This was in the 70s. Stuck in my head because I was an impressionable kid, say, circa 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this is how you pour a beer. Now, if you take a look at it, there's no head on this beer. That's because your beer manufacturers don't make beer like they used to, where it would have a nice head on it. That was back in the 70s. I think he was pouring a High Life.
Yeah, I mean, in the
70s. Into a Pilsner.
In the 70s, if you were a beer snob, it just meant you drank Heineken.
Yep, that's true.
But, I know that in playing in rock and roll bands from an early age that, well, there's a matter of cost, and then there's a practical issue, and what we found worked best was to drink gallons of Natural Light, A, because it was affordable, and B, because it wasn't very good beer and wouldn't get you too drunk.
Right.
So you could drink a lot of it.
Just as long as you served it ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff warms up a little bit. It's bad.
You don't even want that out of a refrigerator. That's got to come out of a cooler with ice. A little salt on it.
Yep.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons we love cheap beer.
Top reasons we love cheap beer.
It goes well with everything else in our lives.
Then just get all fat and sassy.
That's right.
Look, son, if it was really as bad as they say, wouldn't it be called Milwaukee's worst? You don't see too many people with mullets chugging a Sam Adams. There's just something about the clatter of a empty Bud Light landing in the bed of the truck that just sounds right. Rich beer, cheap beer, what does it matter? End of the day, it all winds up in the same place.
Yeah.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
In the alley behind the 7-Eleven.
There we go.
What is the point of getting completely wasted if we don't have any money left over for bottle rockets? And finally, the top reason we love cheap beer.
Yes.
You know what? I can easily spell MGD. And that, my friends, is the
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email ahoy at Stan. At you know,
you had to do it.
Yep,
he had to do it.
Yep. Now he's tripping all over himself.
Mm-hmm.
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
You had to go and do it.
I know. I feel bad. I feel bad about doing that.
I blame you.
Hey, you should. Everything was going along fine until I made notice of it. This is from Pip. Our buddy Pipsqueak, who really is dealing with his boss. Doesn't like the sound of my voice, was complaining about you the other day.
Oh, he was bad-mouthing Shula.
Yeah, about being how the Dolphins suck and Shula sucks. Ahoy, fellas. Oh, I'm sorry, the way he does it. Ahoy, fellers. My boss needs to hear my American trilogy from years ago. Do you have it filed away anywhere? I know you're very, very busy and your time is valuable, but that was pretty effing cool. LOL. Bye, friends. Signed, Pip. Somewhere. It's somewhere.
But we don't know.
I have no idea. It's somewhere.
If it's meant to be, it'll show up one day.
Correct. This is from Heather. Heather writes, Ahoy, gentlemen. We have been out of town the last 7 days visiting family in Minnesota. We arrived home this morning at 11 a.m., happy to be home. Standing at baggage claim, I grabbed my husband's bag. I stood right outside where the luggage spits out, and to my disappointment, my luggage never came out.
I hate that.
I filled out the delayed luggage form. My only happiness is hearing you, Stan and Haney, on the radio. Missed you terribly. Happy to be home and to hear you. Like a hug in my day. Love you both. Cheers. Signed, Heather. P.S. When you get a chance, say hello to Junior.
Well, we don't have a chance.
No.
But they did that to us, where they kept our bags.
Yeah.
At one trip, you got us on some terrorist watch list, and everywhere we went, they were dumping our bags out. And then when we got home and thought it was all over, no, they held them back to check for bombs.
And delivered them to us.
Yep.
That's true. I saw this email, and I thought these particular people were no longer around, that times have changed. This is an email from Jen. Remember back when we talked about back in the old days, if you had a bad tooth or something, you would tell the dentist, pull them all, I'll get dentures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the way they did it. I thought that was... So I had to have an implant done a couple of weeks ago. Evidently, that's the doomsday call, according to Jen, because she's been through it until they pulled them all. Let me read her email to you. Let's see. I had to write when I heard Stan discussing his multiple root canals and crowns yesterday. I am 48 and in my early 30s, I started down the road of pain. I have to warn you, Stan, you could be in for a real ankle grab if you aren't careful. I had a triple root canal on a tooth and had a brand new crown on it, causing the crown to then have to be drilled through and trashed. And one tooth totaled over $5,000. I still lost the damn tooth a month later. Not long after that, I had my top teeth pulled and had 6 bone grafts and a denture on top. Best decision I ever made. Oh, this is from...
A real ankle graft.
Yep. This is from Meg...
How is she?
She wants to talk about that, our question of the week. Want to get away? That embarrassing moment. I wanted to answer your question of the week. I have many. I'll pick just one. 10 years ago in Sarasota, I was with a group of my friends. I forgot where I was, and it was one of those rare times that I was dressed to the nines. I was drinking beef eater martinis and 25-cent drafts.
Ooh.
Later.
You got to pick one or the other.
Yeah. Later on, I started not feeling so well, and I went to the bathroom. I took my phone, and I don't know what happened. I blacked out, and I did the Technicolor yawn, not just in the bowl and all over my brand new knee-high boots that I later had to throw out. I later heard a few girls come in and saw my aftermath, and they disappeared very quickly. I took off my boots, knelt on the toilet seat, texted my friend to come to the bathroom and help me out. She comes into the bathroom, saw what happened, and said, "Geez, Nutmeg." That was her nickname back then. "You really know how to put it away. I'm thankful I went with my friends and I was not driving. Love the show and thank you for the laughs."
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Has he calmed down?
Well, he's got some positive things to say about our friend over here, Roger. "Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I trust you enjoyed your weekend and you stayed safe. I would like to comment on the job that Roger has done this past week. As far as I'm concerned, he should be the producer of the show. It was so nice not to hear a little bitch complain about everything from doing his job to running errands for Haney. It seemed like it was a much smoother show and no comments from little bitch. And damn, that was so nice. I don't know how long little bitch will be gone, but Roger gets my vote for producer.
Nobody calls him that.
So, one more thing. Does anyone realize what a liar Biden is? If he was Pinocchio, his nose would reach across the country. I say impeach him now. You don't want that, Guardian. You do not want that. You hope he stays there at least until 2022.
Yeah.
You guys are the best. Sign the Guardian.
He's done it again!
You know.
You don't want that, Guardian.
I'm back to almost feeling bad for him.
Who, the Guardian or Biden?
Biden.
Yeah.
Because he's going around touring all the storm damage and
yeah.
People are just being mean now. He gets heckled everywhere
he
goes. And
yes, he does.
Holding up those signs. You know the ones I'm talking
yes.
about.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just trying to go out there and do his usual used car salesman BS, but he can't get through it because people are yelling things at him.
Yeah.
But he got the most votes of anybody in a presidential election.
In history.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Stan's name that movie.
Based on the reception he got in New Jersey, I'm not sure that margin was accurate.
96 K-Rock.
Something wonderful happens when you change to
Stan and Haney.
You'll feel better.
Did you say I'll feel better?
Yes, and here are the reasons why. Coughs disappear. Parched throat clears up. That stale feeling vanishes.
That is wonderful.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Then we're going to play Stan's Name That Movie, chance for you to win. Less than 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. But first, let's get you updated on traffic. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, we'll start in Fort Myers. We got traffic control. Fowler Street and Market Street. Fort Myers crash, Gulf Coast Main Street and Ben Hill Griffin Parkway. Then we have a disabled vehicle, the Caloosahatchee Bridge South, that's in Fort Myers. And one more for you at Lehigh Acres, a crash, Alabama Road South and 51st Street Southwest. And you are up to date. Another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. All right, I have phones on lockdown as we get ready to play another edition of Stan's Name That Movie. I have up to 5 movie clips. Your job is to be the first person to identify the film. If you do, you'll win a prize. Up for grabs today, $50 to the Pewter Mug in North Naples. We have tickets, which is the 2-for-1 Tuesday with the Mighty Muscles, September 14th. We have gray or black K-Rock embroidered ball caps, Stan bobblehead, and we also have Stan and Haney t-shirts that we would be glad to sign if you want to ruin it. Today's topic, job interviews. Job interviews in movies, a scene in movies. I'll release the phones after we play the first clip. Name this movie, Job Interview.
What?
Would you like to try our new bacon and eggs fajita? Just $1.29 for a limited time only.
No, but thank you. I'd like the big barn burger, smiley fries, and an orange soda.
Please drive up to the window. Thank you.
Smiley or Mr. Smiley's, that'll be $4.98, please. Do you like some smiley sauce?
No. Actually, I'd like to fill out an application.
There's no jobs for manager, it's just for counter.
Good. I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
I don't think you'd fit in here.
I have fast food experience.
Yeah, like 20 years ago.
Well, I'm sure there have been amazing technological advances in the industry, but surely you must have some sort of training program. Seems unfair to presume I won't be able to learn.
Name the movie. Phone lines are released, 277-9600. The topic is job interviews. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Heather.
Heather, can you name that movie?
Is it Good Burger?
No. No. No, it's not, Hev. Ahoy, who's this?
All right. How are you guys doing? It's Joel.
Hey, Joel, can you name the movie?
It's American Beauty.
It is American Beauty. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
I'll take the gray ball cap, man.
You got it, buddy. Hold the line. I'll send you over to Raj and be really polite with him. He's done a good job since Junior's been on vacation.
Oh, he's been fantastic.
He sure has. Hold on. American Beauty.
Boy, the people are with you, Raj.
They are. Movie clip number 2. The job interview. Name this movie.
Your son can wait out here.
Okay. Son, you should sit down and don't give the lady any trouble now.
Sure, Dad. This way. Don't forget. Look him in the eye.
There's a couple of numbers missing on your Social Security. Oh. Oh, 12. 012. It says here you've got 4 years experience.
Yes.
All on computers.
Yes.
Where did you go to school?
It was called George Washington.
OGW. My brother-in-law got his doctorate there. Did you pledge?
Yes. Every morning.
It happened again. David, the girl is absolutely useless. You have got to give me someone who knows what she is doing. Excuse me. I'm not getting any of my mail. Nothing has been filed. Ever since she got engaged, my life has been a disaster.
You know, she came so highly recommended.
She spent the last 3 months writing down her married name. Mrs. Judy Hicks. Mrs. Donald Hicks. Mrs. Judy Mitchelson Hicks. Sometimes with a hyphen, sometimes without a hyphen. Sometimes she spells the hyphen.
Oh. Well, I really don't know where I can put her.
Put her on unemployment.
When can you start?
Soon.
Name the movie. That's a all-time classic right there. Ahoy, who's this?
Oh.
Ahoy, yeah. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bob.
Bob, how are you, Bob?
Having a good day.
How All right, good. I'm glad to hear everything's going your way, Bob. And I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Can you name the movie?
That is Big.
It is. Tom Hanks and Big. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
You know, I haven't been to the pewter mug yet. I think I'd like
to try. Oh, yeah. You need to go.
Yeah, you need to go. You're going to love it, okay? Nice job. Hold on, okay?
Thank you.
You betcha, Bob. Nice to know things are going good for Bob.
Yeah, got to know somebody's having a good day. Yeah.
You're not having a good day today?
No.
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm not having a bad day either.
Oh, but not a good day.
No.
Was Friday a good day for you? I think you said it a couple of times you were having a good day on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friday was a good day.
Not today.
I'm not complaining about today. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
It's just not a good day.
All right.
It's certainly not a bad day.
Okay, I hear you.
And I think that's what we should hope for from most days.
Sure. Neither good nor bad.
Yeah.
Just even.
Yeah. You don't want a bad day.
Yeah.
And a good day once in a while. Otherwise, you won't trust it.
I hear you. Movie clip number 3. Name the movie, The Job Interview.
This is the nearest employment office. I've taken the liberty of making an appointment for you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, do you have any special skills?
Oh, yes, I do. I do voices.
What do you mean, you do voices?
Well, I do voices.
Yes!
We've come to this planet looking for intelligent life. Oops, we made a mistake.
We're happy to be in America. Don't ask for a green card.
I want you in the worst way.
Well, this is certainly a rough meeting, and it's not going very well for me, I'll tell you that. Hey, boss, give it a chance. She's going to loosen up any moment.
Look at me right now, Moneypenny. I want to undo that bow and get to know you.
I'm crazy to make a deal with you!
Nancy and I are still looking for the other half of my head.
She's an idiot! She's doing it! I'm sitting on a gold mine!
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
Figaro!
I do a great impression of a hot dog.
Mr. Hiller, do you consider yourself humorous?
I used to. There was a time when I found myself funny. But today, you have proven me wrong. Thank you.
277-9600. Name the movie. Job interview. Ahoy, who's this?
Heather.
Oh, Heather, we're going to try again, aren't we?
I was driving stand, so I wasn't really focused, sorry.
But you have no problem dialing a phone.
I'm parked now.
Heather, name the movie.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
You are correct, Heather.
Woo!
And what would you like?
I'm sorry, I was driving, so
Jesus Christ, this is just driving. Are you having a good day, by the way?
He's having a great day, and I'm sorry Haney's not.
Well, no, don't be sad, because it's not a bad day.
It's just an average blah day.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a nice Labor Day weekend?
I did. I came back from Minnesota, and it was a great trip.
Fantastic.
Did you get your bag yet?
Oh, my bag?
No, yeah. Different one.
Oh, a different Heather?
Yeah, I guess a lot of people go to
Minnesota. But they both went to Minnesota?
No, it wasn't. That was Jen.
No, I did go to Minnesota, and I did lose my luggage.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I don't have your email. Did you email us about this?
I did. Yes, I did.
Okay, that's you.
So that would you like amazing. To apologize to me now or later?
I'm apologize. Sorry, I got to apologize to him.
No, you don't have to apologize.
Because he thinks my memory was slipping. I thought you were somebody else.
No, it was me. Yeah, he thought you were Jen.
But you're Heather.
I am Heather.
And you went to Minnesota and lost your luggage, but you were able to get your husband's luggage. And thank God it was like listening to us was like a big hug.
It was.
See?
What would you
thank
like?
Thank you for reading. Thank you for remembering, Haney. What do you have to eat?
I have pewter mug.
Okay. Let's do pewter mug, please.
All right. Hold on. Are you going to use it, or is it just going to sit around?
Maybe I'll take my husband to pewter mug this weekend.
All right. That'll work.
That'll be a lovely time. That'll be a great day.
Yep. He'll like it.
Super. Thank you so much,
all right,
guys.
Hold on, Heather. Nice lady.
You don't hear that often anymore.
What?
Super.
Yeah, super. Movie clip number 4. Name the movie. Job interview. Name the movie.
Well, Brennan, you certainly have had a lot of jobs.
I'm a bit of a spark plug and a human resources lady.
It's Pam.
I'm sorry. Well, Pan.
No, my name is Pam.
Are you saying Pan or Pam?
I'm saying Pam. Yeah, I'm sorry. Who is this gentleman sitting behind you?
Hello, Ms. Lady. I'm Dale, and I think I might be able to help with a Pan-Pam dilemma.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Pam.
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 Pan.
With an
There's
M.
There's a D on the end.
There's no D. It's Pam.
It's like calm.
Here, it's P.
P-A-N-M.
M.
Two M. That was the
confusion. No, there's just one M. I think we've had enough.
Shut up for
here.
1 second.
Shut your mouth.
I needed someone
Wait,
to
shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
I'm sorry? What did
You're
you just say?
You're just coming off stupid.
I'm coming off as stupid. You're wearing tuxedos to a job that requires you to clean bathrooms. Please leave this office. We're done with this interview.
Do we get any sort of souvenir?
Get out of my office!
Pan?
2-7.
Pan? Panem.
2-7-7-9-6-0-0. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Jacob.
Jacob, name the movie.
That would be Step Brothers.
It is Step Brothers. What would you like?
Do you still have any Pewter Mugs?
Pewter Mug's gone for today. I've got Mighty Muscles. I've got a gray or black K-Rock hat. I've got a Stan bobblehead. I got Stan and Haney t-shirts.
Let me have a black hat.
You got it, buddy. Hold on.
And can you filthy it up for me with your autographs?
Sure. We'll filthy it up for you.
Thank you so much, Stan.
You bet you, buddy.
Have
Hold
a fantastic
on.
Fantastic day.
Hold on. Thank you, pal.
Super.
Hold on. Have a super day.
Yeah, that.
I don't know why Roger is being
is
20 minutes
weeds?
On the phone, and we got another guy on line 3,
well,
Roger.
Well, you know how Heather is. She likes to talk.
Do I need to get her back on the line? Do I need to get Heather back on the line and tell her?
No, now okay. You're embarrassing him.
All right, line 3.
But that last clip sounds like us at job interviews.
Of course it does.
And especially when it's pointed out you're wearing tuxedos.
Yeah. All right, we got one more. Job interview. Name the movie.
We gotta get you a job.
I look stupid.
No, you don't. You look dapper.
I don't. I look like Snuggles' accountant.
Come on, it's not that bad.
John, I look like something you give your kid when you tell him grandma died.
Look, I know it sucks, okay? But you gotta make some money so you can pay for an apartment.
I don't want to work at a grocery store.
Yeah, but you have no skills.
I told you I can totally be a lawyer.
You get the job, we're celebrating after, okay?
Uh-huh. And if I don't get the job, are we still going to smoke that pot?
Probably, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Good talk, Coach. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Go get him.
Don't worry. I'll do my very best to get this job that I so crave.
So you think you got what it takes?
I'll tell you what I got. Your wife's on my breath.
Nobody's ever talked to me like that before.
That's because everyone's mouth is usually full of your wife's...
You're hired.
Name the movie. Name.
Shouldn't be too difficult.
No. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jim.
Jim, name it.
Ted.
It is. What would you like?
The hat.
Yes, hold on. Outro, please.
Oh.
How do you keep forgetting?
I keep forgetting when I'm in love anymore. I keep forgetting.
What is he doing? What? It's like he's having a Saturday night conversation with his girlfriend on the phone while he's sitting on the stairs.
Well, he doesn't get to talk to people a lot. You know?
That's right.
And he's not a bad conversationalist.
No, he can be a good conversationalist.
But to be a conversationalist, you need another participant, and it just so happens that he's in a position to interact today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his phone doesn't ring like that at home.
Ha ha!
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
The Big Station 93BLX, it is the Gulf Coast number one for hip hop and R&B. And now with Ray Ray and Miranda, the home team in the morning. Do It To It. What better song to do it to it? It's Inetta the Move said, and I told you I had a very important announcement, and here it is. I refuse to walk around and watch people on my job looking over my shoulder, people lying to me, people talking about me. It's ridiculous. It is sad. I can't take it. I'm not gonna take it. I don't have to take it. I'm not a dummy. I know how to find another job, but I refuse to walk around people. You can say what you want to say about me, and if you see me on the street, I'll let you know whatever you want to know. But I refuse. For the last 6 years, I made $6 an hour. That ain't nothing. I just got a raise after 6 years. I know I'm qualified, and after saying this, I don't care if I ever get another job in radio, period. It does not matter to me. But Inetta will not be setting the mood at BLX no more. I refuse to walk around with people that'll speak to you. Hey, Inetta, how you doing? But then as soon as you walk by, that bitch, I will not do it to myself anymore. So if you're confused by what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Hey, this is Inetta the Mood Setter. You're just listening to my homeboys, and nobody sets the mood like Stan and Haney.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, Inetta.
Yeah. Walk around the building.
Hey, Stan. Hey,
yep.
Haney.
Yep.
Hey, Junior.
Little bitch.
That little bitch.
Nobody calls him that.
Nobody. Stan and Haney here. Tuesday afternoon. And you know what? Your Tuesday's just about done. And just think, when you wake up tomorrow.
Stop it.
It's the middle of the week.
No, I'm still pretending it's Monday.
Why would you want to do that?
Because
it's a short week.
One day is the same as another.
Look, and I don't want to get into details about it, but I know Roger Marley went out to your car while you were smoking and gave you some good news to cheer you up and make it a better day.
Yeah, that took a lot of courage.
He doesn't know, but it did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. This is Roger's last day producing. Here's the thing.
Well, it may not be his last day.
We may need him to produce for us again.
Because Junior likes to take a lot of vacations.
Well, and sick days and personal days and mental health days. And so, but Raj is fully trained now.
But he'll forget.
Will you retain any of this?
If I was able to retain it from Friday until today, I think I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but today was a little rocky.
Well, it was just one section there when I complimented him.
Yeah,
then it went south.
As soon as you said, hey, boy, he's doing a great job. Boy, yeah. Crash and burn.
Yeah, fast. I said, hey, Inetta.
Yep. Then the next thing you know, he's got a 20-minute phone call with Heather.
Yeah, I don't get that either. You know what? Here's I'm going to stay calm about this because I just would like to hear the explanation. Because I have the same problem, and you know this, with Junior. We're in the fortunate situation right now where I can go and say, hey, Raj, hey, Junior, go take care of the prize. But there was a time you and I both had to do that, and I had it down to an effing science.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's your first name? Can you spell your last name for me? Address, telephone number, last four of your social security. And I could get done with that phone call and get all the winner's information no more than 90 seconds. Tops!
And Rogers had to do that when he was doing an airship.
I know that. What goes on over there? And you're not the only one. Junior does the same thing. You're having a like a high school phone conversation with somebody while I'm trying to get another winner. What's going on?
Can you blame me? I mean, Heather's a nice girl.
She's married.
Well, she's still nice.
She was very nice. She's very friendly.
I can't just be rude and say, no time for small talk.
This is a business.
Don't yell at Roger.
I'm getting worked up on the whole situation. I'm not
yelling at him. You're just warming up for tomorrow.
There's going to be a huge price to pay.
There's hell to pay tomorrow.
Huge price to pay tomorrow. But is it, what do they get to trap you into a conversation? What do they do?
Well, people get starstruck when they talk to the producer of Stan and Hayden.
Don't even. I hear enough of that from that crap from Junior.
You know what, listeners? You can respect the office.
Yes, respect the office. You know what? Just boom, 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 boom.
But you've
done a good job, and it's nice to know that if Junior can't make it into work, and it will happen, that you're available, Rog.
So, yeah, if he's awake.
If you're awake.
If I don't oversleep the whole show. You won't have to bother Mother anymore.
Okay, all right. Mother's picked it up faster than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
You're in second place, though. Junior's in about sixth place. He still doesn't get it all.
So that's why Mother has the position that he has.
Oh, of course.
So I should be just below.
No, Mother. You should be proud of what you've done. I think you did a good job, other than that one little glitch there.
Yeah. I think it rose your stature in the building a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Hey, I could always use that.
A little bit more cred in the building, because right now, from before you came in did this, it was crap. It was it was really bad. You had a bad rep.
No, he oversleeps one time. It was one time.
It's like 20 years ago, too.
Traffic.
One time.
Traffic is brought to you by Firehouse Subs. 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral. All right, what do we got here? We'll start in Cape Coral. We got traffic control, Veterans Parkway and Santa Barbara Boulevard. Fort Myers, crash, Crystal Drive and Metro Parkway. And one more, it's in Lehigh Acres. It's a crash, Alabama Road South and 51st Street Southwest. And you are up to date. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme, when people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, September 7th.
Double M, double X, I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
Tigers.
Yeah.
Incredible predators.
They sure are.
You know, you look at a tiger and you say, hey, they got all the physical tools.
Size, speed.
Fangs,
claws.
Mm-hmm.
The supple muscles.
Yeah, tremendous strength.
Yeah.
But they also have another edge.
What?
Making it almost completely unfair. Tigers are nearly invisible to their prey.
Well, because they got those stripes on them, it makes it look like when they're in the brush that there's just another bunch of branches around them.
And what color is that?
The stripes are black.
Orange.
Oh, and the tiger's orange with mm-hmm. black stripes.
Well, it turns out prey for a tiger sees orange as green, making them almost invisible.
Yeah.
And that's why tigers are orange, because it turns out they'd like to be green, but it's impossible for a mammal to produce green fur, and so they figured orange was the next best thing.
The tiger felt that.
Yes.
Okay.
Larry King lived an interesting life.
He started out life a gambling bum.
At our level.
Yeah, even slightly below.
Which is hard to believe.
Yep.
But a lot more to his life than what you saw on TV. Larry King was once involved in a car accident with JFK.
What?
Who do you think
John F. Kennedy?
Yes. Who do you think was at fault?
Probably Larry King.
When JFK was a senator, King crashed into his car. JFK told him it was fine, and he wouldn't report the accident as long as King voted for him when he ran for president.
And the rest is history.
Did you see, it was about a week ago in an obscure publication, but it was reported on here and there, that one of JFK's, I guess, previously unknown mistresses wrote, like, her version of it in detail?
Her version of their affair?
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Talked about, and a lot of respect for this woman, because she was very clear-eyed about it, because she's 80 years old now. And she went back and looked at it with complete hindsight and said, here's how he seduced me, here's how the relationship progressed, and here's when I knew that it was time for me to go when I was disposable.
Before he was president or while he was president?
Both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess they carried on for 4 years.
One of many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what she ends up saying. She goes, I finally realized that I was deluding myself. And But undeniable charisma.
Oh, no doubt.
Some of you may think, based on their advanced age, that the answer would be either Nancy Pelosi or Dianne Feinstein as far as the first woman elected to Congress. Now, you'd be close.
Yeah.
But a woman named Jeanette Rankin from Montana was the first woman elected to Congress. And, no, she didn't vote for herself, not because she's a class act, but because she was elected in 1916, 4 years before women could legally vote.
There you go.
You see, it's not that long ago, and things have spiraled right out of control.
You've come a long way, baby.
You know, maybe it's time to pull back. Pull back. There are lines, Stan, in a moment.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know when you go to the doctor and they'll be looking you over and you don't know what has them concerned yet, and they might ask you something like, has there been any change in diet recently? And then you have to think, how much am I really going to tell them? This is one of those things you might not want to mention.
How much am I has there been a change in diet recently?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there has, and here's what it is.
Panera Bread just added some new menu options, including a macaroni and cheese sandwich.
What? What?
An employee leaked a video of it last week, and nobody was sure if it was real or not.
Raj, see if there's a picture of that somewhere that you can show us on the screen. If there is a picture of the Panera Bread macaroni and cheese sandwich, it sounds effing delicious.
It is real. It's two scoops of mac and cheese between two pieces of toasted white bread.
Get the hell out.
And they toss some Parmesan crisps in there to give you a little crunch.
Yeah, a little texture and crunch. Because
that's a lot of soft.
Yeah.
It may be a little different than their normal mac and cheese, though, because the mac and cheese normally comes with a white cheddar cheese.
Yes.
The sandwich version doesn't look quite as creamy, so they may have dialed back the sauce.
They gotta, to keep it, you know,
make it less of a mess.
Yeah.
The full sandwich will cost you $10, or you can go half for $5, and the full sandwich packs 860 calories.
Oh, God. Let me ask you this. Was I the only one as a kid, when I would go to the school cafeteria and they were going to have spaghetti for the lunch,
mm-hmm,
the 45-cent lunch.
Yeah.
50 after a while, 55.
Well, it depends on what color ticket.
I never had a ticket. You had, if you had 55 cents, you got the school lunch and a milk.
Yeah, well, you'd buy a ticket.
No, we never had that.
And you could tell how somebody was doing by the ticket, because there was a different color for the kids that got free lunches. I think that was green.
Well, they didn't invent that one.
And then there was like a purple ticket that was for a normal, and then red was deluxe.
But I would go and get order the spaghetti hot lunch and get as much white bread as I could and make spaghetti sandwiches out of them.
Nothing wrong with that.
You've had a spaghetti sandwich. I just remember they used to be great.
But they're frowned upon.
Why are they frowned upon?
Society doesn't understand
how good it is.
Yeah.
With that spaghetti and sauce.
They think, oh, that's too much starch.
That's true. A lot of carbs. But they're serving up a macaroni and cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, but no. You'd think, but they'll accept that before they'll accept a spaghetti sandwich. They'll say, that's just stupid. But especially if you got some meatball in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it with the meat sauce? The bolognese?
Yeah.
That just made it even better. You having problems, Chef Boyardee, Raj, getting the picture of the sandwich?
Yeah, he's struggling. He's put his mask on. Do you realize that you're in a room that only you use? And
well, confession here. I was about to run down the hall and ask Mother for help trying to get...
Don't worry about it.
If you want me, I could turn this thing around.
No, the ship has sailed.
Yeah, the moment's gone.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
That's what she said.
Yep.
I hate to fail once again after you told me how good of a job.
Yeah, I was asking you to go beyond.
You got to leave something for next time.
Yep.
It's always fun to learn new things.
It is. I would have liked to have seen what it looks like. But
sure you would have. But instead, we got to ruminate on spaghetti sandwiches.
And whether you had a pink ticket or a blue ticket.
Well, I think it was 55 cents for a normal. It was like good, better, best. 55 cents for a normal.
Yeah.
65 for a little extra. And 75 for the deluxe.
Really?
Where I think you got two slices of pizza.
Right. For the portly kids.
Or the hungry kids.
They're the hungry kids.
There weren't that many portly kids then, because we could eat a spaghetti sandwich and burn it off in about two seconds.
Oh, sure. Oh, come on. Every school had the fat kids.
Oh, yeah. Not that many, though. One of them was my good friend.
Well, you went to school in Florida. Up north, a lot of kids had to put on a little bit of fat for the winters.
Stan, you know that's triggering for me. Yeah, there were a lot of fat kids
there
up
were.
North. A 39-year-old man in Omaha, Nebraska, went to the Taco Bell drive-thru a couple of weeks ago, 2 in the morning, and he had a lot on his plate. In addition to driving, he was eating, speaking to a friend on the phone, and he was also, at the same time, admiring a knife that someone had gifted him.
Oh, that's nice. It's always nice to get a gift of a knife.
At some point, the vehicle hit a large pothole or bump in the road, and the jolt made him accidentally stab his right thigh with the knife, leaving him with a deep puncture wound larger than an inch across. The man drove himself to the emergency room and evidently lived.
Evidently.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis.
No more information.
For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, you turn a corner in life, and for most of us, that's in the early teen years where we realize we shouldn't mess with small children.
What? Leave the kids alone.
Yeah, where you become more of a protector to small kids than an antagonist.
Right.
Because when you're 10, you'll still mess with a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I know.
But by the time you're 12, you're like, hey, that's a little kid. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
Well, evidently, 24-year-old Antonio Woods never got the memo.
By the way, here it is. Somebody sent it to us.
Oh, that's just delightful.
It does look good.
Oh, no. I think I pulled a hammy looking that way. You're going to have to list me as doubtful.
I'll start from the beginning. Sorry. I just saw it pop up, and I knew you wanted to see it.
Police in St. Louis arrested a 24-year-old man named Antonio Woods last Wednesday after he allegedly stole a go-kart from 3 small children aged 4, 6, and 9.
What?
But he didn't just walk up and push them away and take it. He pulled a gun and pointed it at the 9-year-old and demanded they give up the go-kart. Well, they weren't going to argue with him.
No, even at 9, you know, gun pointed at you, give them what they want.
So, the 24-year-old grown-ass man, Antonio Woods, jumped in the go-kart and took off. The kid's grandma happened to catch it happening, and she immediately called the cops. They caught up with the guy, and he led them on a brief chase before crashing into a tree. He was charged with robbery. The kids got the go-kart back, but again, he crashed it into a tree, so it's all effed up. And it wouldn't be surprising if authorities added a charge for pulling a gun on the kids, but no one's mentioned anything about that yet.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
And that's what didn't need to happen.
Right! That's a shame.
If you're 24 and you can't afford your own go-kart...
I know somebody that would have done that, though.
Yeah. And that's the news. Pull a gun on a 9-year-old.
Yeah, I know somebody that would have done it.
And that's the news for today, Tuesday, September 7th.
Double M, double XI.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is. Little Mucky Haney telling it like it is.
Nice recovery, Ron.
Yeah. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Listen to new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance right in your own home.
96 K-Rock.
That sounds pretty good to me. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I want to thank Roger Marley for filling in as our producer while Junior has taken some long vacation that I just do not see him being able to afford.
Yeah, and it's been fine because, again, you know, we respect the office of the producer.
Yes. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs, 3 Lee County locations, Fort Myers and Cape Coral.
It's not about the individual. It's about the office.
Couple of things on the board. Yes. That's what I believe. Now, about a half hour ago, we got a report of a crash. Alico Road and I-75 northbound. Hopefully, that's in the clearing stages. Might be a few delays there, but immediately following that, probably about 10 minutes ago, it came into our station. It's a crash. Daniels Parkway and I-75 northbound.
Just a quick drive. Oh, it's so easy. It's all interstate.
Zing. I got to find a long way home. And you are up to date.
Well, it used to be bad. I was born to lose, and my traveling shoes was the only shoes I had. Well, it used to be cool. I was that Sunday afternoon, sunken, drunk, and stumbling fool. Till I met your mama. She pulled me out of that terrible fix. Well, I know daddy's been away a while, cause it's been hard to teach an old dog new tricks. I tell your mama your dad done quit his drinking. Tell your mama your dad done found.
It's all good news.
Tell your mama your daddy don't quit his cousin. His fight is carrying on, but don't you tell your mama.
It's kind of long, goes along with the good news Roger told you today.
Well, it used to be sly. I'd stay out all night. Now I love to fight and make them young girls cry. Well, it used to be cruel. Down and dirty with a just plain surly attitude. Till I met your mama. She pulled me out of that terrible fix. Well, I know daddy's been away a while, cause it's been hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Tell your mama your daddy don't quit his drinking.
Yeah.
Tell your mama your daddy don't fight. Scary and all, but don't you tell your mama, goddamn, your daddy's bored. Well, if a thousand times I've seen the light, you know that I've gone blind a thousand times again. And if a thousand times I said I do, you know I turned my tail a thousand one again. I didn't mean no harm, I was just having fun.
Oh no.
Don't you tell your mama, goddamn, your daddy's.
Classic Comedy is brought to you by Best Home Services. Appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
I got a juicer. I got this big industrial juicer. You know, you put the fruit of the vegetable in here. Here's the spout. That's where the juice comes out. This side's the bad side. A bin and a clear lid. You don't want nothing over there. So the first thing I tried to make, this is true, was banana juice. Not knowing there's no moisture anywhere inside a banana. You can blend a banana, but you can't juice a banana. I didn't know this. So I put my first banana. Bam! Okay. Clearly there's a lag time here. Put the second. Bam! All right, I'm going to have to be patient. So I thought, well, maybe that's how juicing works, you know? Maybe it takes a while for the machine to catch up. I fed 7 bananas in a row. When does that delicious banana nectar start trickling into this glass? So I just took the lid off and I started eating the banana pulp, which is very similar to eating a banana. It's like eating banana off the cob. Thank you.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Laughter is so very important. Sure is. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Beautiful. On the money today. I'm going to miss you.
Yeah. Finally, you know, he's there in the saddle. It's
right
all
there.
Worn in, and now it's over.
Yep.
You know, I don't know that they existed when we were younger. You're beer snobs.
Not like today. I remember my old man had a buddy who was trying to show everybody how to pour a glass of beer. This was in the 70s. Stuck in my head because I was an impressionable kid, say, circa 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, this is how you pour a beer. Now, if you take a look at it, there's no head on this beer. That's because your beer manufacturers don't make beer like they used to, where it would have a nice head on it. That was back in the 70s. I think he was pouring a High Life.
Yeah, I mean, in the 70s.
A Pilsner.
In the 70s, if you were a beer snob, it just meant you drank Heineken.
Yep, that's true.
But I know that in playing in rock and roll bands from an early age that, well, there's a matter of cost, and then there's a practical issue. And what we found worked best was to drink gallons of natural light, A, because it was affordable, and B, because it wasn't very good beer and wouldn't get you too drunk.
Right.
So you could drink a lot of it.
Just as long as you served it ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff warms up a little bit. It's bad.
You don't even want that out of a refrigerator. That's got to come out of a cooler with ice, a little salt on it.
Yep.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons we love cheap beer.
Top reasons we love cheap beer.
It goes well with everything else in our lives.
Then just get all fat and sassy.
That's right.
Look, son, if it was really as bad as they say, wouldn't it be called Milwaukee's worst?
All he had a brand new bag was a man world.
You don't see too many people with mullets chugging a Sam Adams. There's just something about the clatter of a empty Bud Light landing in the bed of the truck that just sounds right.
Yeah.
Rich beer, cheap beer, what does it matter? End of the day, it all winds up in the same place.
Yeah. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
In the alley behind the 7-Eleven.
There we go.
What is the point of getting completely wasted if we don't have any money left over for bottle rockets? And finally, the top reason we love cheap beer.
Yes.
You know what? I can easily spell MGD. And that, my friends, is the...
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email ahoy at Stan... At, you know...
You had to do it.
Yep.
He you was, he had was really, to do it.
Yep. Now he's tripping all over himself.
Mm-hmm.
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at StanandHaney.com.
Okay, okay.
You had to go and do it.
I know. I feel bad. I feel bad about doing that.
I blame you.
Hey, you should. Everything was going along fine until I made notice of it. This is from Pip. Our buddy Pipsqueak, who really is dealing with his boss. Doesn't like the sound of my voice, was complaining about you the other day.
Oh, he was bad-mouthing Shula.
Yeah, about being how the Dolphins suck and Shula sucks. Ahoy, fellas. Oh, I'm sorry, the way he does it. Ahoy, fellers. My boss needs to hear my American trilogy from years ago. Do you have it filed away anywhere? I know you're very, very busy and your time is valuable, but that was pretty effing cool. LOL. Bye, friends. Signed, Pip. Somewhere. It's somewhere.
But we don't know.
I have no idea. It's somewhere.
If it's meant to be, it'll show up one day.
Correct.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.